Praise your name. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us your son, Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for our apostle and the apostolic grace that is on his life. Holy Spirit, help us to become better partakers of the grace that you've placed on his life. Holy Spirit, help us tonight as we open up your word. Reveal to us things we need to know, things we need to understand, things we need to apply in our lives. God, we give you all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you would, turn with me to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. It seems like every time I minister, I start from Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And I didn't realize it until I was the Holy Spirit reminded me that we have to shift from the pastoral model of church to the apostolic model of church. Once again, I'm starting with Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the 11th and 12th verse, because I want to remind you what is the purpose of the fivefold and what our role is in listening to the fivefold. The pastoral model have taken us as far as it's going to take us. One of the things that the pastoral model of the church cannot deal with, the pastoral model of the church cannot deal with territorial demons. Only an apostle or somebody that is apostolic can deal with territorial demons. And so the pastoral model, and most of the church is in the pastoral model because they keep going around in circles, teaching the same thing, saying the same thing, and expecting different results. We all know what that is. That's called insanity. They keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So Ephesians the fourth chapter, 11th verse, I meant to say, it says, and he gave some apostles, meaning Jesus gave these, some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints or the maturing of the saints so that the saints can do the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ can be edified, or the edification of the body of Christ, or the body of Christ can be built. All right, you listening? Yes. Verse 13, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. That means solidarity. One agenda. In the unity of the faith, or the unity of the assignment that comes from God. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself, or to the building of itself in love. So we as a people of God, it's up to us to shift ourselves from thinking or operating in a pastoral model church into an apostolic model church. Sunday apostle began to speak things into our lives. When he began to speak those things into our lives, it is up to us. It is up to us to receive those things. And watch this, receive them to incubate them. See, an apostle will give us direction. God will give you instruction. I'm going to say that again. An apostle, an apostolic house will give you direction. But God will give you instruction. What does that mean? That means that when we come here on Sunday and Tuesday, apostle is going to give us the apostolic direction and apostolic momentum. All right. Of the direction we're going in.
Yes, sir.
It is up to you and I in our private times to get instructions from God on what's my part to play. See, this is why, thank you, Holy Spirit. This is why sometimes when an apostle says something, sometimes it seems like it's so far out there that, you know, Lord Jesus, did he say that? But our job is to grab what he is saying so that we can incubate it. The fivefold ministry gift objectives, three objectives. Notice God, Jesus gave five gifts to do three things.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to keep emphasizing that.
Yes,
because right now in the church, we're trying to do the three things with three gifts.
Right.
We're trying to do it with the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist.
Right.
And the reason why the pastor, teacher, and evangelist can't get the complete job done is because we're leaving out the apostle and the prophet. So without the apostle and the prophet working in conjunction with the pastor, the teacher, let me give you an example. I didn't realize it, but I realized the office that I walk in is a teacher. Now watch this. Here's what people don't realize what a teacher is. A teacher only expounds on the doctrine that the apostle has established. See, I didn't understand why I would get revelation knowledge. I didn't understand why I would get clarity in the word of God until apostles started really acknowledging the apostolic office. And I began to learn the different offices and what they do. And all of them work together. So work together because remember now, the apostolic is really talking about the agenda of God and what does God want. So not only do the fivefold ministry gift have to shift from a pastoral model, but the body of Christ has to shift also. And so everybody has to play their part. Everybody has to, even, watch this. Jesus kept saying, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. That was an apostolic statement. Because Jesus saying, you can only hear what I'm saying if your heart is connected to my agenda. Go to me to Mark the 10th chapter. Praise God. Mark the 10th chapter. Watch this. Mark the 10th chapter and the 17th verse. This is what I'm talking about, shifting from a pastoral model to an apostolic model, because I'm going to get to something in a few minutes that apostle begin to deal with Sunday, and I'm going to show you a live example in the word of God where a pastoral model have taught us about a passage of scripture and kept us from the apostolic point of view of it, and it's kept us in bondage. All right? So watch this. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse 17. And when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running to him and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Then Jesus told him, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said to him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved, beholding him, loved him, and said, so Jesus embracing him. Other words, what that scripture says, Jesus was opening an opportunity. The opportunity was opened because he loved him. All right? Look what he said. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He didn't have ears to hear what Jesus was asking him to do. That stuff had him so much to where he couldn't see that Jesus was giving him an opportunity to do what he was asking. He said, how is it I may inherit eternal life? Now I'm talking about, listen now, because I'm going to show you something. Jesus told him to do what? Go back and read it. What Jesus told him to do? Sell whatever you have, right? And give to the poor, right? Come take up your cross and follow me. See, when we read scriptures from a pastoral model and not, let me say it this way, because I talked about it before. When we read the scripture from a self-centric point of view, we read those scriptures and we kind of hear what we want to hear. Because of the pastoral model, what we heard was Jesus said, told his man, give everything you have away. That ain't what Jesus told him. Jesus said, sell what you have and give it to the poor. In other words, Jesus was saying, all these assets and stuff that's holding you in one spot, I'm going to need you to sell it and give it away. He never told him to give his money away. Why did Jesus tell him to sell what he have and give it to the poor? Because he said, Jesus, what I must do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, this man is hungry. I'm about to bring him with me with the rest of the disciples. But he didn't have ears to hear. We must, as believers, we must have ears to hear. What does that mean? That means we have to go beyond the natural. Because remember now, an apostle structures heaven to earth government. Are you hearing me? That's nothing but divine order. So that the portals of the supernatural can be open. So that all those that are connected can enter in. So that means, watch this, that means that I have the ability to hear things that others don't hear because I'm connected. I have the ability to discover answers about my life that others cannot discover about their life. See, this rich young ruler he couldn't hear the answer to his life. He didn't have ears to hear because his heart was not connected to the agenda of God. See, this is why Matthew 6:33 is so important. God qualified in verse 32. He qualified in verse 32 and admitted in verse 32 of everything you need. He said in the 32nd verse, the Gentiles do seek after these things. Jesus said, but your heavenly Father knows, I love that scripture, knows that you have that you have need of all those things. But forget all that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. See, so when you position your heart, your heart, your mind, when you position your soul and your mind to be connected to the agenda of God, see, it's not your spirit the problem. See, your spirit is not the problem. It's your mind, your way of thinking. Turn to Isaiah 1 and 18. Isaiah 1 and 18. Isaiah 1 and 18. Isaiah 1:18 reads like this. Come now and let us what?
Reason
together. Who said that? The Lord. Right? Come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins, or another word for sins is your actions. Though your actions be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be like red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In other words, when you reason with God, when you begin to meditate with God and think with God and let God challenge your thoughts, you'll find that your actions will change. You'll find that your direction will change.
Hallelujah.
You'll find that things that were hidden from you can no longer be hidden from you.
Come on. Amen.
Because you're allowing God to mess with your thoughts.
Yeah.
Yes. You see, this is why an apostle will say things to mess with your religion. Because he's supposed to mess with our religion.
Hallelujah.
An apostle, he or she is supposed to mess with our thought process. It's supposed to challenge us. It's supposed to make us evaluate. Now, I'm going to get to the word evaluate. Make us to evaluate ourselves. Remember now, a fivefold is supposed to mature us. Not so much. They are maturing us. They're putting us in a position to be mature.
Right.
See, that's what. See, all right. We've all dealt with children before. When you tell a child to do something or not to do something that they were doing or that they don't want to do, sometimes they throw a temper tantrum.
Right.
They throw that temper tantrum because they're immature. They throw that temper tantrum because they don't want to change. They throw that temper tantrum because they either want to continue what they wasn't supposed to be doing or they want to start doing what they wasn't supposed to do. So they throw a temper tantrum. If they can't have their way, they throw a temper tantrum. We can't be like that when our apostle challenges us. It's our job to take what he says, in our case, what he says, even if you don't understand it, is to go back and let the Lord give you instructions. See, God has orchestrated things so perfectly. This is why sometimes you can come on a Sunday morning and God will give you your answer directly out of the mouth of an apostle. And some Sunday you come here and God don't give you no answer. Oh, y'all going. Notice what I didn't say. I didn't say what apostle said wasn't powerful. You just individually just might not have gotten an answer. What does that mean? That means that I have to take what he says. Go with me to Joshua, the first chapter, so I can show it to you. So I can show it to you in real. I can show it to you in the Bible example. Joshua, the first chapter. Watch this. Joshua, the first chapter. Watch this. Joshua, the first chapter. the eighth verse. He said, Joshua wrote this down himself. This book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This is God, if you read the context, this is God talking to Joshua. This is God talking to Joshua and telling Joshua, like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. This hits me every time I read this passage. He said, fear not, I'm going to be with you. Then he gets to the eighth verse and he said, do what Moses said do.
Right.
All right. Do what Moses said do. He said, I want you to meditate what Moses said. See, we try to take this eighth verse, the pastoral model. The pastoral model has taken that eighth verse and extrapolated over the whole Bible. In other words, you can take any verse and work that.
Right. Right.
Without understanding the apostolic reasoning about why God did what he did. I'm gonna show you. So here it is. Here it is. God is talking to Joshua face to face and telling Joshua, do what Moses said do. Think about what Moses said to do. Put your focus on that. Let's set some. God is not the author of confusion. So God is not going to tell Joshua to do that if he didn't trust that Moses was saying what he said. Every last one of us in here on internet, every last one of us in here, we had our own experience with God of why and how we got here. Right? And God was involved. His voice was involved. So if God's voice, I'm going to give you some credit now. I'm going to give you some credentials. I'm going to give you some confidence about yourself. If you're able to hear the voice of God about where you're supposed to be and your connection and getting answers, then God is not going to allow the set person in the house to steer you wrong. So that's what I mean about apostle gives us direction, but God gives us instructions. Here's what I mean by that. Go to the sixth chapter. Go to the sixth chapter of Joshua. Praise God. In the sixth chapter, in the first verse, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hands Jericho and the keys thereof and the mighty men of valor. Now we jump to verse 3 and think it kind of happened like that. If it wasn't for Joshua 1 and 8, he couldn't have saw nothing.
Notice,
watch this. God told him, see, I've given you Jericho. How was Joshua able to see that? Because the Bible says it was strictly shut up. None going in, none coming out. So, because he had to see first before he got to verse 3.
Come on, sir.
So you got to wrap your mind, your heart around the direction before you get instructions.
That's right. That's good teaching.
See, you got to wrap your mind, your heart around the direction before you receive the instructions. Joshua, if Joshua had not meditated what Moses said, he wasn't going to be able to see. See, so now you're starting to see the apostolic, how important the apostolic is, because the apostolic has been in operation since the beginning. The word apostle, Jesus used that word apostles simply because of the time he walked the earth. During that time was the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire would conquer different regions, and they would send what's called apostles. The job of the apostle was to go into those regions that they conquered and begin to structure the Roman way of living. All right, they were supposed to go structure the Roman way of living, the Roman culture. And so Jesus simply used that terminology so that the gentlemen that were following him could understand what their assignment was. That I'm going to send, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. In other words, Jesus said, go into all the world and begin to teach and structure the culture of the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's been happening since the beginning. Since Eden, really. Because really what was supposed to happen in Eden, God was supposed to take time. God was coming and meeting with Adam and Eve consistently. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil was in the center of the garden, right? Well, God had it in the center of the garden for a reason. Number one, so they can have a choice. That's reason number one. So they can have a choice about whether they want to listen to him or not. Because if they don't have a choice, then love cannot exist. All right. So he wanted to give them a choice. So they did it if you do it because you love me, not because I'm forcing you to. All right. The second reason why the tree of knowledge, good and evil was in the center of the tree, because eventually God was going to expose them to evil based on his timeline. Because they were going to have to go and deal with evil. They was going to have to go and be fruitful and multiply. That wasn't just talking about having children. That was talking about when I release you into this outer darkness, you're going to be well prepared to go do what you saw me do here in Eden. Because I made you just like me. I've given you authority just like me. I've given you power just like me. So this what we term, we use the terminology apostolic, or the agenda of God, has been in existence since the beginning. So Moses was acting as an apostle.
Right.
Receiving, what he always received direction. Here's the thing about Moses in the Old Testament. Moses had to receive direction and instructions because they couldn't get it for themselves.
Right.
But Jesus did something on the cross. Jesus did something on the cross that allowed us to enter into the holies of holies on our own. I don't need nobody to go into the holies of holies for me. I can go for myself. I can boldly come into the throne room of grace.
Hallelujah.
So, if Joshua had not meditated the direct, because Moses had to be saying in that law what belonged to them. Moses had to be saying, watch this. Moses had to be talking about Abraham and what Abraham began.
Yeah. Right.
Abraham had to be talking things that God had showed him on the mountain about what they were supposed to do and what they were supposed to have.
Right.
And in order, watch this, in order for God's agenda to stay on track, he gave it to Moses, and God came to Joshua and told Joshua, do what Moses said do. Because when you do what Moses said do, I know my agenda going to stay online.
Yeah.
I know my agenda going to stay on track.
Yeah.
See, one of the problems with the pastoral model is we got so many different agendas. One of the things that we're trying to establish in LTMA is the continuity of the agenda of God.
Yeah.
You know, it's not time when Apostle says, hey, Leroy Jr., you got it Tuesday night. Obviously, God has already been talking to me about what he wants to do with his agenda through Apostle. So when I stand up here, it's not time for me to try to establish my ministry. Are you seeing this? It's my job to come here and to, remember I said, I'm a teacher, so I'm only to expound on the doctrine that has been established in the house. Why is this? So that we can do Joshua 1 and 8. So that you can go to God on your own and get instructions. See, if Joshua had not meditated what Moses said, he could have never seen Jericho being theirs. If you can't see Jericho being theirs, what's the use of God giving you instructions on what to do? Because you ain't going to follow them anyway because you don't believe. See, there's a reason why Apostle talks to us about our health. There's a reason why he teaches. There's a reason why. Listen, Sunday, for the first time, I heard the communion taught from an apostolic grace rather than a pastoral. Because what? All right, turn down. I'm just sure. Turn down. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Watch this. Turn down. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Because a word jumped out at me. First Corinthians, the 11th chapter. We start at verse 23. Verse 23, he said, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Now that's an apostolic statement. Because the Apostle Paul is telling the Corinthians, listen, I got this straight from God, from Jesus. Personally. That's him structuring doctrine. Because if you look, if you go and read Jesus in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it talks about the Lord's Supper, it was very short. Jesus said, this is my body, take it and eat it. He said, this is my blood, which was shed for the remission of sin, drink it. Do this in remembrance of me. He said, Jesus said, I'm not going to drink of this fruit no more. Until after I get all this done. And that was it. Right? But the Apostle Paul began to say, for I have received the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, listen to this Apostle Paul talking. You do show the Lord's death till he come again. All right, you are celebrating. The Apostle kept using that word, celebrating the Lord's death. Till he come again. Verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup of this Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the pastoral model got us thinking this is talking only about sin. That's why I come out the Baptist church. You can't do nothing on Saturday night if you got communion on Sunday. See, that's the pastoral model. But when you begin to see the script, because that's a self-centric way of looking at that passage of scripture. But you got to look at it from a God-centric or an apostolic view. The Apostle Paul was not talking to sinners. Right? He was talking to Corinthians who were born again. So when the Apostle Paul began to expound on the communion and what it means, he began to explain that those that take this, not realizing how sacred and how powerful and how majestic and how celebratory this is. How can you take this communion in defeat in your mind? He said, for whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Other words, you are doing the blood of Jesus a disservice.
Yeah.
See, it's not talking about you having to be clean. You are already. Matter of fact, what we should have been doing, all our Baptists, whatever we did Saturday night, we should have been running to the church on Sunday morning to take that communion. What is it going to do? Because it reminds us of the price that Jesus paid on the cross and that he gives me the power to change. How dare I think it's me? How dare I think it's me being clean to take communion? I've just disgraced the blood of Jesus. I just disgraced his resurrection. How dare I think it's me? This is a, it's, no, no, it's, see, that's why Apostle began to prophesy things to us. Did you hear him when he said that all the affairs of your life will be wrapped up in the power of the cross? That's direction. If you had any situation going on in your life, all you got to know is that it's wrapped up in the power of the cross, right? That's direction. Now, I got to go home and begin to meditate what that is saying so I get instructions on what God wants me to do so he can have a chance to come clear that up. Because remember now, Matthew 6:33 says what? Seek ye first. So that means when I got direction, every time Apostle prophesies to us, that's direction. That's the direction of your life. In the natural, it may not look like your life is going in that direction. But whenever he, from his apostolic position, and he began to prophesy to us, that's giving us direction for our life. So if your life was going this way, and you wanted to go that way, when he speaks and said it's going that way, then your mind should be saying, my life is going that way. Now, since my mind is saying my life is going that way, okay, God, give me instructions on how to make these steps because you have ordered my steps.
Yes.
Give me instructions.
Yes.
Give me this day my daily bread. Are you seeing this?
Yes.
So, Apostle began to impart to us the communion from a celebratory aspect. All right, watch this. This is what I want to get to, verse 28. But let a man examine himself. Examine himself. Examine himself. All right, Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, right? That means Christ has redeemed. Redeemed means to be put back in a former position. A position we once had that we lost. Jesus died on the cross and put us back in that position. So when the Apostle Paul is talking about examining yourself, he's not just talking about examining yourself from a moral standpoint. Because Jesus didn't just redeem us from moral failures. Jesus redeemed us from moral failures. He redeemed us from financial failure.
Yeah.
And he redeemed us from health failures.
Yeah. Yeah.
So every time I take communion and I think I can't have more than enough, I got to examine myself. Every time I'm getting ready to take communion and I think I can't be healthy, I got to examine myself. See, the pastoral model just had us thinking that we'll just examine ourselves because of moral failures. But if that's only what it's talking about, then that means the rest of us shouldn't be taking communion. Yeah. If you ain't got no moral failure. Because I'm not practicing sin. I ain't got to be going to God every day, say, God, forgive me for doing this, because I ain't did nothing. I ain't got to be going every day. I'm not practicing sin. So if that examination was just about moral failures, then why are you taking communion? See, communion is celebratory. It puts you in a position to remember, Jesus died on the cross. You don't have to stay like this. All right, let me say it like this. Jesus died on the cross. My body don't have to stay in pain. My body don't have to stay not working properly. Jesus died on the cross. My checking account got to start acting right. Jesus died on the cross. And every time, and see, I got to be, because see, if I take communion and my mindset is not right, then I'm trampling on the blood of Jesus. I ain't say everything got to be working right in your life. What I'm saying is you can't take communion and think things ain't gonna change. Watch this. Verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Let's see this from an apostolic point of view. When I eat the body and drink of the Lord's blood, take communion, and I haven't examined myself, and I don't believe that the blood of Jesus paid for all that, because my mindset ain't right, I'm bringing damnation to myself. Yeah. How am I bringing damnation to myself? Because I don't believe. Yeah. And what I don't believe, it can't happen. So the purpose of communion is to get me out of my blue funk. When things ain't going right, I need to take communion. Because what it says communion gonna do? It's gonna remind you. So if things ain't going right in my life, I need to take communion to remind myself that this can't stay like this. So, apostle is teaching us from an apostolic point of view that communion is a celebration. It's not a place of condemnation. It's not a place of a place where I gotta be reminded of. It didn't say do this in remembrance of your sin. It didn't say do this in remembrance of your challenges. It says, do this in remembrance of me. Why do I want to remember him? Because Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. For it is written, curse is everybody that hangeth on a tree. So what? That the blessings of Abraham might come on me. So every time I take communion, I'm reminding myself that the blessings of Abraham is coming on me. See, this is why... Listen, if you messed up the night before, go take communion the next morning. Because it's going to remind you that you don't have to live like this no more. Maybe seated. Go to verse 30. Watch what it says. See, this is talking. This is I start off talking about.
Praise God. Help yourself.
Getting direction. Apostle has given us direction on communion. So now we got to get the instructions from God. See, the Bible says, "Given to you to know the mysteries."
Right.
Mysteries is just simply that what is hidden, is unknown. The Bible says, "It's given to you."
Come on.
To know the mysteries. It's given to you. It's your right to have it. It's Jesus died for you to know the mysteries. What mysteries? The answer to the situation that's puzzling you. My body ain't working right. I can't really trust all what the system is telling me. So that means I go to God. And God can give me the mystery on what I need to do.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Watch this. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Not because of sin. It's because we don't celebrate our rites. People are taking communion, not thinking things are going to change. They take a communion out of religion and tradition. Take a communion, not allowing your mind to play the part that it has to play. Just had a meeting with a friend of mine. He'd been a friend for a long time. I graduated in accounting, and so he's a lawyer, and he has an accounting background. He's brilliant. So I've been knowing him for years. He helped us with everything that we do here legally, make sure everything is straight. And him and I was eating dinner one time, and he told me, Leroy Jr., he's a Jew. He's a Jew. And so he said, he's a Christian. All right. So he got a view of both sides, being a Jew and being a Christian. All right. So he said, you know what the problem with Jews and Christian? He said, we all of us are on the right road, just in the opposite sides of the ditch. I said, what you mean? He said, the Jews practice the law. God has certain laws in place, and they focus on the law. He said, but an unintended benefit is that they get immediate results. They eat a certain way, so you don't find many sick Jews. You just find the one sick that ain't practicing, ain't eating a certain diet. He said, you don't see many broke Jews. Right? He said, there are laws that God gave that they are practicing. Now, in them keeping the law, they think that those laws is causing them to be redeemed, but it's not. But it's getting them immediate benefits in this earth realm.
Yeah.
He said, on the other hand, you got Christians who Jesus paid for it all. He said, yeah, Jesus paid for it all, but Jesus didn't do it all. He said, we're sitting there, he says, Christians, we're on the other side of the ditch. Everything is Jesus paid for it all. Jesus did it all. No, Jesus paid for it all. Jesus positioned us in righteousness, but there's some things that we got to do. For instance, you got to examine yourself. The Bible ain't say God was going to examine you. You got to examine yourself. So in examining yourself, thank you, Holy Spirit. How do you examine yourself? Joshua 1 and 8, Romans 12 and 2, Isaiah 1 and 18. Meditate this book of the law. In other words, don't come here on Sunday just to say you've been here. Hear the directions. Meditate on them so that you can make your way prosperous and you can have good success. Go to God and reason. Reason with God, because your actions was going the wrong direction. You was about to make a false step. But when you reason with God, God begins to mess with your thoughts and begin to show you where your steps were about to go the wrong direction and give you instructions. Then you got to renew your mind with the word of God so that you can't conform. You got to be transformed. How you train? Renew your mind with the word of God so that you can prove or recognize the good and acceptable will of God.
sir.
So you got to examine yourself.
Yeah.
See, he said if the Christians start doing what the Jews are doing, and the Jews accept the Christ of the Christians.
Oh, yeah.
He said their lives would change. See, there are too many sick Christians because they keep eating like they want, saying, Jesus, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. There are too many Christians that don't have enough money and keep saying Jesus will provide, but every time Jesus provides, they send it all away without hearing his voice. You got to examine yourself. Now I'm about to close. Now is where the apostolic really kicks in, because now it's making you mature.
Amen.
See, it couldn't be. See, because Joshua didn't have Moses to go run to. We got it better because we getting it every Sunday and every Tuesday. But just because we have a present day Moses for our lives doesn't mean that we don't have to meditate. It doesn't mean, because there'll be some Sundays where you're not going to get no instructions. You're only going to get direction. You're going to have to go to God and get instructions for yourself. Remember how the fivefold is to perfect the church, perfect the saints, mature the saints. So therefore, I got to go spend time with God. I have to go and spend time. I got to meditate. Okay. My life, all my life affairs are going to be wrapped up in the power of the cross. God, what does that mean? God, what are you saying to me? God, what you trying to get me to see? Remember Joshua had to? God, what are you trying to get me to see? Because once you see it, then you get the instructions. Once Joshua saw, what the third verse said? You're going to march around these walls. Uh-huh. He couldn't get the instructions until he saw. Uh-huh. Or, watch this, until he understood. Yeah. Apostle said something to me about a couple of Fridays, about 3 or 4 Fridays ago, we had to make some decisions, business decisions. And he was at the RV park. He was on a golf cart, and I was outside my RV. He rolled by. He said, Leroy, God just spoke to me. He said, don't move until you see what I'm saying. Don't move until you see what I'm saying. In other words, God was telling us, don't move until we understand how he wants to do it and give us instructions on what to do. Don't move until, see, so I took that just went for that situation. Now that has become a repertoire that I've added to my weapon, to my arsenal as a weapon. I ain't moving until I see what God is saying. In your life, that's why you have to examine yourself to make sure your thought process is right when you take communion.
Yeah.
Don't you, for another day, take communion without making sure your mindset is right. Don't just blindly take communion. That's what the Apostle Paul was dealing with them. If you read a little further, Apostle Paul say, y'all coming here, y'all just eating this stuff. Y'all not even realize how important this is. Y'all not even realizing what you're doing. He said, when you eat his body and drink his blood, I want you to be in a right frame of mind knowing that I'm reminding myself that whatever is going wrong in my life, whatever I'm facing, as I drink this blood and eat this bread, which represents the Lord's body, look, things going to have to change. Why things had to change? Because of what Jesus did on the cross. So by taking communion from an apostolic point of view, See, all that prelude was to get you to prepared for Sunday. When apostle comes Sunday and begin to impart to us,
yeah.
Don't worry about trying to understand everything at the moment. Some stuff you're going to understand, some stuff you're not going to understand. Just grab it,
yeah.
And then go to God and say, God, I ain't moving until I see what you are saying. The wonderful thing about God in his infinite wisdom is God orchestrated that every last one of us from every walk of life, from different backgrounds, living in different places, dealing with different things, can come under one apostolic house, hear direction, and that direction to give us the ability to find answers to everything we're dealing with. Everything we're dealing with. So now from now on, if you make a mistake, don't run from communion. If your finances ain't like it's supposed to be, run to communion. So it can remind you that Jesus became poor. So that through his poverty, you can be Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes, I am healed. So you run to communion. Instead of communion being a place of conviction, let it be a place of conquering. I'm an overcomer. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So communion now should be for us a celebratory event. This is not something we just go through the motions doing. Matter of fact, you don't have to wait till Sunday. You don't have to wait till Sunday. You can take, he says, as often as you do this. Do it in remembrance. Don't think about you and your problems. See, remember got to do with your mind. Remember got to do with your soul. He said, when you do this, all you do is remember. Do the remembrance of. Do the remembrance of Jesus. In other words, you're not even supposed to be taking communion thinking about your issues. The only thing you should be thinking about your issue is that I'm reminding myself that Jesus said my life don't have to stay like this. No matter what's going on in my life, it doesn't have to stay like this. See, this is what I'm talking about, that you have to begin to hear apostolically. When apostle begins to begin to throw things out to us, begin to impart things to us, hear it and meditate on it. Hear it and meditate on it. When you meditate on it, you'll be able to see. When you see, you get instructions. Does that make sense? Meditate on it. It may not be clear to you. Meditate on it until you see. When you see, then you're going to recognize instructions. You're going to recognize when God talks to you. God could have been saying something to you, but if you hadn't meditated and you don't see where he's going, then you're not going to recognize the instructions to go to that place.
That's right.
But when you get a chance to meditate, then you can see.
Yes.
Then you can get instructions and then you can follow his instructions. How many see what I'm saying?
Yes,
see, gone are the days where we're going to put all the pressure and all the responsibility for our answers on our apostle. God can use him as a vessel to give us an answer, but I know every Sunday he's giving us direction.
Right.
Every Sunday he's giving us direction.
Yeah.
So what I got to do is take them directions and go get instructions.
Right.
Do you understand the process, how it goes?
Because
see, sometimes we take the directions and we don't understand it and we put them on the shelf. No, don't put them on the shelf. You have to go to God and say, God, what are you trying to get me to see? What are you trying to get me to understand? And all thy getting, get understanding. In other words, just understand direction. What direction God has taken us. What God has taken us. If you embrace the directions, you can easily access the instructions. If you can, listen, write that down. I don't usually say that, but I need you to write that down. If you can embrace the direction, I'm closing with this, my last statement. If you can embrace the direction, you can receive the instructions.
Mm-hmm.
it'll be easy. When Joshua embraced the direction, which means he meditated, he saw, which means he understood, then he received directions. Lift your hand into the tithes and offering envelope.